Welcome back to episode 6 of the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent, one of the co-founders and co-directors at Deserto, and I'm here with Keshav Bhatt, the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the last 8 years of Call of Duty content, specifically on the website and on, of course, Twitter, where it's got the biggest, I think it's the biggest fan account for a game in the world. Keshav, obviously a pretty exciting week for Call of Duty news, as it seems to be all the time at the moment. It seems like there's just constant changes happening. But I don't know if there's anything you want to kick off this week. I know they've got a lot of the Cold War beta has just finished, so keen to hear your thoughts on that again. And also we've got, I'll just run you through a list actually. We've got the Haunted event and some Warzone news. We're obviously going to talk about the Black Ops Cold War beta. We're going to talk about the fireteam mode in the beta. There's been some cheating in the beta, of course. And finally, we're going to do some esports news, which was probably going to revolve around Hex. And we've also got an exclusive interview with Silly from the LA Gorillas, who's a pro CDL player. So I don't know, what do you want to kick off on, Keshav? You choose.
Let's kick off with Black Ops Cold War. I think there's, you know, some smaller information there is more to talk about in Warzone. So let's start off with Black Ops Cold War. I think, you know, the second weekend of the beta is about to end. And, you know, we got Xbox and PC players online and everyone got to try out the beta together.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing I noticed first off is the amount of PC players who said the game feels incredibly smooth and it runs really well for them, which is huge, you know, especially with CDL going to PC plus controller next year. That's very important. So, you know, that's great to see that, you know, the teams at Treyarch and Beenox are able to make a PC version that works quite well. I think, you know, there's obviously crashing issues for some players, but I think Treyarch was quick to fix some of them. So that was great to see. But I think, you know, the biggest thing of the beta this weekend was that Fireteam Dirty Bomb mode. You know, it seems like Treyarch are taking the same route as Infinity Ward in that they're offering game modes for larger player styles, right? We have a 6v6, 12v12, and now they're doing 40 player mode. Infinity Ward tried Ground War. Infinity Ward tried Ground War, but Treyarch's trying Fireteam. I think, you know, there's two maps in the beta. One thing I'll say instantly noticed is that, you know, PS4 Pro, Xbox One X performance was okay. There's not major frame rate drops, but the original Xbox One and the original PS4 Slim had massive issues trying to run this mode.
Is that any surprise, though? I mean, if you're rocking a PS4 not Pro at the moment, or again, the original Xbox, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's not, it's, you just have to accept it. Stuff's going to be a bit laggy. You're going to have a bit of frame rate issues. I know that they want to make sure that's not the case, but then day, if you've got one of those consoles, you must have had it for at least 5+ years. Or unless you bought it secondhand, of course, but, and that is unfortunate because obviously not everyone can afford to get a new console. You know what I mean? Not everyone can afford to just spend $300-$400 or, you know, British equivalent, but it's kind of expected, especially with the size of the games. I mean, look at the download files. You can't even get it on some PlayStations now.
Yeah. The game, like the original PlayStation was 500 gigabyte hard drive and this game is almost 200. So you're taking up, you know, majority of it just with one Call of Duty game. And I don't see the new games getting any smaller. I see a lot of people saying, oh, the next gen will become better, but I don't see that, right? I mean, with how big these games are with so many modes in there, there's only so far they can so truly go with it. But yeah, the Fireteam mode, I think the first feedback I noticed, I did a tweet over the weekend just asking people to rate the mode out of 10. The one thing I sort of saw was a lot of players who enjoyed Ground War in Modern Warfare were loving Fireteam, right? It was this large scale experience. And I think what Infinity Ward and Treyarch both are doing well with these large scale modes, they're bringing in that Battlefield audience.
Yeah,
Battlefield, there's no new Battlefield game, right? And so there is no new games for them to play right now. And so now they have this chance to capture that audience too. And, you know, the maps were quite nicely designed, in my opinion. I think the snow map, I think it's Alpine, was quite nicely designed overall. I mean, it had those, you know, open areas you can go into, but also had those small close quarter combats that you can engage with. One thing I did notice was they did bring doors back in that mode, the similar door mechanics, but like it was different in that, like, you can throw a grenade on it and blow it off. And then Modern Warfare, it was harder to do that. So,
well, it just opens, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that was one piece of feedback I saw on Twitter immediately saying doors are back. But as soon as people realized it doesn't work the same as Modern Warfare, I think people were okay with it. It felt more like a game door, not like a realistic door where, you know, you can lean into it or push it open, which Modern Warfare tried too hard to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, the doors in Modern Warfare, like, we obviously saw major issues in the CDL and the Call of Duty League where, you know, they worked out how you could block doors because obviously they're playing it all the time. They kind of work it out. And that obviously ended up being, I mean, we had a piece on Deserto and it was like one of our best performing pieces about how to block doors. So I think it was something that people were really interested in doing. But it's kind of like, you know what I found really weird because of the way that the doors worked in Modern Warfare, I found it really weird playing the beta and not having doors just in the regular maps. And it was almost like it felt like a step back to not have doors. I don't know. I think it's like adds a whole new, like, especially in Warzone, having doors, it's like it helps indicate if someone's been in somewhere, whether it's, you know, you don't really have that sense when the door's kind of closed. When there's no doors at all. So I actually kind of like the door mechanic. I agree. I think they tried to make it a bit too fancy. I think the way it was in Fireteam is a little bit better. But but yeah, I think I'm pro door. I don't know if anyone listening is pro door, but let me know. Are you pro door or are you anti door? Let me know in the comments.
I think the doors work in Warzone, but not 6v6 multiplayer, right? I think in Warzone, I don't see a problem with it in Warzone. I think it's great because sometimes if you're hunkering down in a building, whatever, and close the doors, you can hear for someone coming in with stuff like that. Especially when you're healing in Warzone, that's great, right? The doors are closed, you can know. But in multiplayer, just it seems like it slows down the flow of the matches in multiplayer because, you know, you have to get through the door and then it, with how 6v6
matches
go. It
wasn't a huge amount of doors in multiplayer, though. Like, a lot of the maps, it's like you'd have, like, just a few token doors and you'd be like, well, this is... It was almost pointless, but I think it's just because I play so much Warzone compared to playing multiplayer. Like, I think, like, most people... well, not most, but that's probably a lie, but I think, like, a lot of Warzone players, they only play multiplayer to either rank up their guns or to warm up before they play. That's pretty much it, so... But yeah, maybe S&D obviously makes it more difficult. In a respawn game mode, it's kind of pointless having the doors, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, beyond Fireteam, I think with the beta, you know, there was a lot of feedback that I saw was, you know, some people got bored of the beta very quickly. I think
I'll be honest, that was one of them.
You know, I stopped playing after like Saturday. I played a little bit on Thursday, then I was really busy. And so I just stopped playing. And like, I didn't feel like I needed to go back online and play it. Right. No. I think with Modern Warfare beta last year, I don't know why, it just felt like a smooth game that you wanted to keep playing, even though it had these, like, no mini map, all these weird things. It was like a game that kind of bought you back in. The Black Ops Cold War just feels like there's nothing sort of there to bring you back in right now. You know, maybe it's because we're on PlayStation 4 right now and the next gen version will be much better and PC players like the experience more. I don't know. Personally, I think Treyarch, like what we said last week in the last podcast, was Treyarch has a good foundational game here, but they just got to make, you know, smarter decisions in terms of map designs and sort of weapon balance. I mean, you know, I hope they don't focus too much on these Fireteam maps and focus on giving us a good selection of 6v6 maps at launch. That was the biggest feedback in Modern Warfare, right? At launch, with like 10 6v6 maps and the rest were ground war, gunfight. Like in total, there was like 18, 19 maps, but for core MP, there was like 10 and like two of them, people liked it. And so
what did you make of the change to the slide mechanic?
I think the slide mechanic was weird in the alpha, right? The alpha, it just felt off. It felt like something was wrong with sliding. And I think, you know, what they've tried to do it. I think they might have overcompensated on sliding. Like they've tried too hard to nerf it. Hopefully they tone it back a little bit because I feel like it's a middle ground that they need to reach and they're not there yet. I think it's in the weird place right now still.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know. It's obviously, it was a big talking point on Twitter. Everyone talking about sliding, what effect it had. You know, I think people are still saying it needs to be nerfed a bit more. I think, but again, it wasn't as bad as the alpha where it was basically you could just slide around the entire map and, you know, you could just get away with ridiculous moves. But again, you know, it's only a matter of time. Like obviously it's only been 2 weekends that we saw this in the beta, but it's only a matter of time once the game's launched, which is in what, like 3 weeks, that we'll see pro players and, you know, people who just play the game a lot trying to find out how they can exploit the mechanics. And it's inevitable that they'll find a way because they've done it on basically every game. You know, for at least the last 3 or 4 games, we've seen, you know, there's a real kind of desire from especially up-and-coming COD pros to just really try and find like a niche and try to find a way to kind of break the system or break the mechanic, should I say, which is fine. I think it's, you know, it's perfectly fine to do. You see someone like Shotty last season, he was just flying around the map. You know, his movement looked ridiculous. It was like he was playing an entire different game to everyone else. And that's what we'll see. And that, and then eventually that ends up kind of like filtering down into the multiplayer casual lobbies because, you know, people watch the top pros and then people watch players do it. And it kind of like, you know, we get the slide canceling all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, Treyarch has been pretty vocal on saying that they're being active in fixing stuff, you know, Tony Flame on Twitter and stuff that he's been saying. Yeah. So, you know, CDL, I mean, we don't know when it starts, probably January, whenever it starts. Hopefully in that time from launch to CDL start, they find a good place where slide canceling works. Slide canceling is, you know, something that's at a place that pro players can exploit, but it's also at a place where it's an enjoyable experience to play and it's not clunky when you play it. So, yeah.
Let's quickly talk a little bit about feedback from a few streamers. So, We had Nick Merckx and Swag both talking, specifically Nick Merckx, who's obviously pretty much the biggest Call of Duty streamer at the moment with Warzone. He was kind of talking about the beta and he didn't really give it much. He basically said, look, if it was good, we'd all be playing it and we're not. You know, I think it's a bit disheartening to hear him say that. I appreciate that maybe because it's not Warzone, that's probably why. And it'll be interesting in the future if it does transition over what that means for him. But, you know, did you get kind of a sense from content creators? Because, again, I saw a lot of COD pros, people like Scum, they didn't seem to be playing that much of the beta. They were still playing Warzone.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on Twitch as well because one of the things that's interesting is like last year, the Modern Warfare beta, I was chatting with some of the Activision people as well about the Twitch numbers and they were number one. And there was no Battle Royale last year, right? It was just Modern Warfare, there's Blackout, and people had given up on Blackout at that point. But Modern Warfare was a number one game on Twitch, and it was number one for both weekends, right? For PS4, and then for the open beta for all platforms. This year, you didn't see that. For the PS4, it didn't exist on Twitch. Like, it was 10K viewers, which kind of makes sense. I mean, because, you know, PC players were not interested, and majority of players have switched to controller on PC now, which makes sense. But, like, this past weekend, like, you saw it on Thursday and Friday with like the beta when the Twitch drops were happening.
Yeah.
It was performing pretty well, but then it fell off quickly, right? Like Twitch drops usually are a thing that gets in the majority of streamers to start streaming a game. And I was on Friday and I was like twitch.tv/TimTheTapMan. I just want to see what Tim was doing. He was playing Warzone. He wasn't talking about Black Ops Cold War. No. Nope. Not about anything. Ninja as well. All these big streamers. What was crazy to me personally was the fact that they didn't have like hashtag COD partner streams this past weekend, right? Every other major
But I think that's kind of, it's almost like Activision have a little bit shot themselves in the foot. It's like, well, you know, you pay like a Tim the Tap Man, Courage, I can't even think of the name, like, you know, Huskers, all those guys, you're paying them to play COD and COD partner them. And then you're not going to pay them for the next week or the next set. So they paid them for the alpha and they're not paying for the beta. If I'm that streamer and I'm looking after the bank account, I'm going, well, I'm going to get more viewers on Warzone and I'm not being paid to play this. So why would I play this game again when, you know, if they know if they want me to play it, they've got to pay me. And I think, you know, that's kind of like it's unfortunate is that's the problem. It's what happens with a lot of games. You know, you see, you know, just as an example, something like Hyperscape, where all these streamers were paid to play it, and then nobody's playing it anymore, whether it's because it's a good game or if it's too complex or whatever. But the point is, people aren't going to go back to it because they're not being paid to do it. If you've already paid them, it's like if you pay someone for an interview, they're not then going to do an interview for you free the next time. You know, it's almost like sets the precedent. So I think, you know, I guess Activision know what they're doing, but this, and I'm sure it's happened in previous years where they've paid and people have still played, but because I think the game isn't as good as what multiplayer in Cold War isn't as good as Warzone. So what are people going to do? They're going to play Warzone. That's what people want to watch. I didn't really watch any beta streams. I watched Warzone streams when I was watching.
Yeah, but I think the one thing you point out there, right, is the fact that they're still watching Call of Duty, right? At the end of the day, like Call of Duty is still, Warzone is still topping the Twitch charts, which, it's for Activision, it's like, okay, you're not playing Black Ops Cold War, but hey, you're still playing Call of Duty. And you're bringing them viewers, bringing them audience, which I think is massive, right? In the years past, we never had this before. This is brand new for Call of Duty. And for someone like me, who's been so dedicated to Call of Duty reporting only, like I've never experienced a year like this before where there's so many people still invested in the game, right? Like, by the time we come to October, like this point, like everyone's like, I'm done with the game. No one cares, moving on with life. But here we are with like, we're October, you know, Warzone is still trending on Twitch, on Twitter. I mean, I still can't stop gaining followers. Like, we posted the Haunting trailer yesterday and it's like 40,000 likes, almost a million views on that trailer. So it's like, there's so many people invested in this scene with Call of Duty, now with Warzone being free to play, that I think if they're not playing Black Ops Cold War, I mean, at the end of the day, does Activision care? Like, you're still playing Call of Duty Warzone.
Look, this is one of the best positions, you know, Call of Duty and Activision have had forever, basically. Like, when has it ever topped the streaming charts like this? When have you ever had all these big names wanting to play Warzone, addicted to playing Warzone? You know, I can't wait to play it. You know what I mean? I've rarely had that feeling about Call of Duty in a long time, and I played Blackout. You know, it was, I kind of thought it was all right. You know what I mean? It did, but this something about Warzone, it's like, it's got something addictive about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the weapon sounds or the maps noises or just the way the flow works, or maybe it's skill-based matchmaking. Maybe it works all along, but I enjoy it. I don't play anything else at the moment. So, you know, I think, Call of Duty is in a great place. So, you know, for people listening, and I know people every time we do these go, oh, you're just so negative about Call of Duty. It's not, we're actually really positive about it. But when it comes to Cold War, I think, you know, it's interesting that there wasn't as much hype in the beta. You know, had they not done the alpha, would there have been as much hype? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just the weird part, is like, where does Call of Duty go in terms of the premium games every year after this, right? In all honesty, like, I genuinely believe Black Ops Cold War could have released next fall, and like Modern Warfare and Warzone would have given Activision enough revenue for the next year. Like, they didn't they didn't need this game. Like, it's just...
Would their shareholders say it like that, though?
Yeah, and their shareholders would disagree, right, obviously, with us, because right? they want that. But, like, I don't see Black Ops Cold War beating Modern Warfare sales numbers, right? Because if you look at November, there's new consoles coming out. There's a Spider-Man game on PS5. There's Cyberpunk, which has the most hype behind it, I think, right now. So it's like, you know, what are they going to say if this game doesn't sell as well as last year, right? Like, do they just chalk it up to
next gen?
What they
said, though, is that you know, because of Warzone, people are buying more single player game. People are buying multiplayer, and they're buying the full game because of the experience in Warzone. But is that going to have the same? But then I guess the question is that going to have the same translation when you're not actually playing the same game?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like that translation or that upgrade path for Modern Warfare and Warzone worked because it was so deeply integrated, right? Like, if you own the free-to-play version of Modern Warfare, especially, or of Warzone, especially on consoles, right? Reloaded up is a massive tile that says upgrade to the full experience. And with COVID and the quarantine stuff, people wanted more to play after playing Warzone, right? Because you can have fun for Warzone for hours, but why not jump into a 12-hour campaign? Because Modern Warfare's campaign is pretty good. Or check out multiplayer and you got that upgrade path. But when you play the new Warzone, or you play Warzone, whatever happens this fall, right? And it has that Black Ops Cold War tile on there. Like, that's the same effect? Is that same effect going to happen this year?
Yeah.
It's something that I'm waiting to see, right? Like, it worked this year. It worked with Modern Warfare. But does that carry over to Black Ops Cold War next year? Or do you just have a bunch of players just playing Warzone and just not interested in upgrading to the full Cold War game because they saw on Twitter, or they saw their friends say the beta sucked or the alpha wasn't the best?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just feel like this is the one year where the beta might have hurt them more than it helped them. Just because so many people are so deeply invested in Warzone, not many people are thinking of going back to multiplayer. There's just so much to play with Warzone. And this, you know, even if Black Ops Cold War doesn't have the highest sales, I think Warzone is still going to peak and do incredibly well for the next year.
Yeah, 100%. I think Warzone's kind of cemented itself as like one of the games. And I couldn't be happier about that. I mean, look, Deserto, obviously Charlie Intel's always been a Call of Duty website, but you know, for many people, they don't realize that Deserto started as a Call of Duty website, you know, specifically Call of Duty esports. And then we kind of transitioned into doing more casual gaming, or casual Call of Duty, shall I say. But, you know, Warzone in particular is one of the biggest drivers of traffic for us still. And we don't, you know, and compared to all the different topics that we cover, from TikTokers to, you know, other gaming news to esports to business news, you know, Warzone specifically is a huge driver. There is millions of people that are still playing that game every day. my friends who have no interest in gaming at all are playing Warzone. The guy that fixes, the guy that at the garage who takes care of my car, he plays Warzone. Literally everybody plays Warzone. Like, you know, all my girlfriend's friends, they all say they're Call of Duty widows, you know, like they're literally, Warzone has taken over and I couldn't be happier about it. But there's obviously, I want to make sure that that maintains. Like, how do they do that? How's it going to continue on? And I think one thing that's going to definitely push people away is cheating, which is obviously one of the topics I want to talk about. So there's actually been a number of incidents that people uploaded to Reddit where there was cheating in the beta, which is unbelievable. How can there possibly be cheating in the beta? I don't know how that even works.
From what I understand, it's like it's the same cheats that's been used in Warzone and Modern Warfare, because it is the problem that I think we're experiencing, or the problem we're in the midst of, is the fact that Battle.net is not fully equipped to handle this whole anti-cheat system, right? If you look at Battle.net and you look at its history, Warzone is the first ever free-to-play game that platform has ever hosted. They had Destiny 2 for like a month as free-to-play, but like that was it. And so Warzone is really this massive experience, right? Because if you look at a game like Overwatch, even though it's massive for them, on the scale of player base compared to Call of Duty is nothing, right? And so I think it's a combination of both, you know, developing anti-cheat system within the games itself, but it's also about how Blizzard and their Battle.net service can also counter anti-cheats, right? Because we've seen with Riot Games and Valorant that Vanguard system, I think they call it, where it's about your whole PC. Like, you would download Vanguard separately on your PC. And so I think that's where, you know, Activision Blizzard has to go. I think, in my personal opinion, Activision Blizzard has taken the wrong approach to cheating by going after these sites, because look, these sites can come up every single day, right? You can have a new cheating site up the next day with a different name attached to it, and then it's no longer under the cease and desist letter.
Yeah.
And so I think Activision, they've tried, you know, that route, which, you know, maybe it's working for them and they're happy with it, but at the same time, it's like, it just feels like they're taking every other avenue versus just building anti-cheat, right? It's building an extensive anti-cheat software. And when I saw the clips on, you know, it's crazy because you don't see those clips on PS4. It's only when PC gets the beta, this problem happens. And, you know, one thing I'm extremely worried about going into this year is the fact that Call of Duty Challengers is crossplay across all three platforms. Even though it's controller only, right? It is controller only. You can still get those aim assist hacks and the wall hacks and all that stuff in. So, you know, there's genuinely a lot of work they have to do. You know, it is worrisome that in the beta stage, we already have cheaters. And, you know, knowing how Activision is with CDL, like Challenger starts up like a month after launch. So are they ready for this? Are they prepared? And if so, like at the end of the day, I feel like they need to take the route that Riot Games has and be transparent about the anti-cheat system, what they're doing and how it works, to avoid the fact that, you know, with the Challengers, especially, you'll have a crap ton of people complaining and whining, oh, it's a cheater, it wasn't a real win. How do you stop that? How do you counter that? So I think there's a lot of work from them they need to do. And I think one of the biggest things is transparency. Because, you know, with the beta, I haven't seen Treyarch talk about it once yet, about cheaters, right? They've posted a new blog post almost every other day, but I haven't seen a blog post that says, you know, we're aware of cheaters. So, you know, that's...
A lot of people were just turning off crossplay, weren't they? When they were on PS4, they were like, well, I'm just going to turn off crossplay and then I don't have to deal with the cheaters. Pretty good. I mean, you know, when I play Warzone on a PS4, and there'll be sometimes when I die and I think, am I just awful? Probably. But also, like, how did he possibly turn and snap me like that? Like, it just makes no sense. I do wonder how they're going to deal with it. I just don't get how there isn't an anti-cheat, and it just blows my mind. I mean, everyone keeps talking about where's the anti-cheat. You know, Warzone, for example, I was speaking to Merc, who's a former, still a Call of Duty caster, but he's turned streamer and he's getting quite popular. He was talking to me the other day and I saw him tweeting saying that the hackers are back. So the people that were using that engine owning cheat, it got taken offline, it got deactivated. And then suddenly there's just been this huge wave of people back. And we had a bunch of streamers like Nick Mercs and Tim the Tatman both played with cheaters. And try to find out like how long they've been cheating for. One thing that always makes me laugh though is on the cheating on that engine owning website. I went on the other day to see like what it's all about, like whether you can still like download it and stuff like that. And in the top corner it says oh, their slogan's like, we believe that everyone should have a chance to win. And it's like, come on, that is bullshit. That is pure, but that is just lies to make money. And you fucking know it. And anyone cheating, they're cheating because they probably suck. But it's not about winning. It's I don't know what it is. I'd love to like know the psychology of a cheater because it must be boring. What running around and you don't even really have to aim and you kill people. Like, where's the fun in that? And I think the guy that was speaking to Nick Merckx was saying, I was just getting killed so much by cheaters that this was the only option. Was it the only option? Mm-hmm. Fucking loser. Anyway, I just thought we'd get a bit ranty there. So cheating in global beta, bit of a shame already. Hopefully there's an anti-cheat though. Hopefully people talking about it. So people need to keep talking about it on social media. People need to keep putting pressure on Activision and Treyarch and Infinity Ward to try and make sure that we get an anti-cheat into Call of Duty because, especially with crossplay, it could really ruin it, especially as it seems to be so easy to install and do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just add, put the pressure on Activision. The developers don't have as big as control over some of the distributions that people might think. So, yeah, Activision needs to... I don't think it's just, they did address it back in June. Like, they gave a blog post and they gave us, a number of people hacked. And then when our whole story broke about engine owning, they did a tweet about how many more people they have banned.
Yeah.
I think we need frequent updates, right? Like, every month, give us an update. How many people are banned now? What new hacks did you guys detect? And stuff like that. Just to help people understand
who's the biggest streamer that you've caught this month.
give us that information. Yeah. Just tell us that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because like the crossplay stuff is interesting, right? I'm on PS4 and I disable it. And I always get that alert every single time saying enable crossplay. I'm like, no, but the weird part is in Warzone, Xbox can't disable crossplay with PC. I don't know why. I don't know if it's an Xbox requirement or something, but they can't do it. Even if you do it, it still puts you in PC's lobby. So, if you're going to force crossplay on us, you gotta fix cheating. You can't do that. You gotta fix it. So hopefully there's news to come from Treyarch of what they're doing with this game, especially with Call of Duty League, because I know the story will get much worse if Call of Duty League challengers has hackers. It'll go beyond just this gaming news sites and stuff. It'll start hitting esports and those outlets too that are these team owners are investing in money in challengers team too as well. So that's when I'll get really serious when investments.
And people start getting accused of cheating. I mean, there was already people accused last year. We kind of talked. So there's an interview with Silly that we're going to play soon. And he kind of talked about the possibilities of cheating and stuff like that. But that'll be coming up very soon. So Keshav, is there anything else that you want to discuss about Cold War or Warzone before we head into a bit of an esports topic?
I think we're going to talk about the hunting event, right, for Warzone.
That's right. Sorry. The haunting event. So that's the Halloween event. It's not going to be, by the time this goes out, people already know, but it's not going to be an update. It's just going to be a playlist update. So you won't have to download a patch or anything. So I read on Charlie Intel, in fact, that it's going to be a zombie mode. And if you die in Warzone, instead of going to Gulag, you respawn as a zombie, which sounds amazing. And if you pick up two syringes from people's dead bodies, then you basically can respawn. Is that right?
Yeah, that's an interesting mode, right? I mean, you die, and instead of in the gulag, you spawn back in as a zombie. I mean, as a zombie, they're saying that you have increased speed, increased jumps, melee attacks, and you also have thermal vision because it's a night map. The trailer showed it, like the trailer that they released, it showed like, it looked like exo-zombies, if people who played Advanced Warfare might remember that.
Yeah.
These zombies are just jumping in the air, running at people. I think, one of the funny parts is going to be the clips out of this mode, right? Does the zombies go land on their own, teammates and kill their own teammates and stuff? Like, is that possible? Is friendly fire possible?
Yeah.
That'll be funny clips to come out of this. But I think also, like, this is the first time we're seeing, like, true zombie experience in this Modern Warfare engine, right? There's no zombies mode and stuff. So I'm excited to see how that works. And no gulag, I guess players, I'm glad this is just in that zombies mode, right? It's not in like the overall that they remove gulag. It's just this one mode. But the coolest part, I think, is what you mentioned earlier, the syringes, right? Like you have a chance, even though there is no gulag, you have a chance at respawning. You do have a chance to come back into the
action. But if anything, it sounds fun to be a zombie. I don't know how, because when I first heard that there was going to be zombies in the map, I literally said, I'll never play that. And then when I read about it and I was like, oh, you actually get to be the zombie, because in Blackout, they had that zombies on the map, didn't they? And it was basically just computer AI and zombies, and they were stupid, and you just go and like loot nearby them. But this is this is obviously, you know, human-controlled zombies, which I think is going to be hilarious until someone cheats, of course.
Yeah, if there's zombie cheaters with aim assist at people, that's going to be the dumbest thing ever. Oh my god, those clips will be beautiful. I think those clips will be funny. Yeah, that'll be insane. But beyond that, I mean, there's nighttime in Verdansk. You know, first time we've seen the night map. It's funny because that map has been leaked for like months now. I think it's been in the files, and so they're finally bringing it out. You know, I will very interested to see what people think, especially the streamers, because you know a lot of people complain about the lighting and how far you can see out in this map. How much worse does it become in nighttime? How do they do things at nighttime?
I'm excited. There's gonna be a lot of thermal snipers.
Yeah, that's So I mean, a lot of how does that glare look, right? How does that glint sniper glint look in nighttime? It'll be cool as well. So nighttime in Verdansk, the screenshots and the trailer looked like it was very gloomy and very like scary. Actually, scary map. It's not like just put there's awful lights everywhere and said have
fun. Do you think they'll have any AI zombies at all?
I don't think so. I think
and if you're a zombie, do you die in the gas as well?
They didn't say that. I don't know. They even said they didn't say what happens in the gas. That's interesting. That'll be interesting to see what happens with in the gas. I'm checking the blog post and there's no mention of what happens in the gas. So,
well, people listening will be like, you should know because it'll already be out by then.
It's not out yet for this when we're recording this. So. And then I'll just add, multiplayer, there's a couple of updates they mentioned for Haunting as well, and that if you go on a 3-kill streak, your head turns into a jack-o'-lantern. And then if you go on a 10-kill streak, your head turns into a flaming jack-o'-lantern in match. Oh, wow. So that'll be, funny, I guess. For some people, it might scare some people who don't like it. But yeah, that's going to happen for the next 2 weeks. And they've just updated some of the maps. So when you're on Domination, there's no longer a flag. It's a scarecrow. All the tags and skill kill confirmed are skulls instead of dog tags. Yeah. So just some visual effects around there. So, the one thing I'll just say about this event is that this is the first holiday themed event they've had for Warzone all year and Modern Warfare, right? In the years past, we've had those Days of Summer. We've had those like Shamrock and all whatever and spring events. This didn't do that for Warzone, right? They just had seasons and now here we are.
They kind of had the Games of Summer though, didn't they, for Warzone last season.
Well, if you remember Blackout, right? In Blackout, when it turned like spring, they updated the map to have like a spring feel to it with leaves on the trees. And then summer, it came back and then fall and removed it. This year, they didn't do that, right? It was the same map in terms of weather, in terms of sun and all that stuff. So I'm really excited to see the feedback on the nighttime map. And I'm excited to see sort of post this event, ends this event's live for 2 weeks. So November 3rd ends. Do they keep the nighttime map again? Like, do they bring it back in a special playlist and stuff? So yeah, there's a lot of cool. I mean, the trailer we posted got almost 1 million views on our channel. I think on YouTube, on Call of Duty's YouTube, started trending this morning too.
Yeah.
One of the best trailers I've ever made, I would say personally, for an event. It just got the vibes down perfectly for what they're trying to go for. So I'm excited to see, how actually playing it this week, how it feels and sort of.
We'll talk all about it in next week's episode. But I'm really keen to play the zombie mode I can imagine there's a lot of people that are just going to fly straight down and kill themselves just to be a zombie. So
yeah.
I think you'll end up having like a lot of zombies at the start of the map compared to usual.
It's funny you say that. I was thinking of doing that to myself just to get a clip of how it works. But so we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely. Okay, well, before we go to our interview with Silly, who is our CDL Pro World Champion, he won in World War II, we're going to talk a quick bit about a vicious rumor that's come out about Optic Gaming. So we'd already kind of discussed before that there's been rumors, and it seems to almost to be kind of confirmed by many sources. And it's almost like a lot of people talking about it and the people involved that Optic Gaming has got back into the hands of Hex, but it's like, how is it going to work? So it was originally leaked and people are kind of like talked a little bit about it, but not too much. But anyway, the latest bit of news comes from Jake Lucky from Esports Talk, and he has said that if Optic Gaming aren't allowed to leave LA, so it has to stay Optic Gaming Los Angeles. I know there was plans in the work for it to be Optic Gaming Chicago, but apparently the league has blocked that. So it looks like the Huntsman spot will actually be up for sale rather than the OG LA spot. So that obviously there's obviously a Chicago team that there's no information yet about whether they could change the name of the Huntsman or not. Obviously it's already one of the most popular brands. I think there'd be temptation from a lot of people to keep it, especially, but I think without Hector, it's going to lose that appeal. So I don't know whether people want to kind of start fresh. Now, one thing that was said in the report that actually I found out is inaccurate is that Scump might not be able to play for the Optic team if it did move to LA. I've personally had that kind of confirmed by a few sources that's not true, and that if you know Hector was able to play, was able to take over OGLA, and you know they severed ties with Huntsman and sold it off to someone else, so NLG would take it, OGLA, that it would actually, Scump and everything could move over, it would be fine. So you know, there's not going to be a world in where Hector doesn't have Scump on his team unless Scump retires. So that's just a bit of information there. I don't know what your take on it is.
You know, I think it's Optic Gaming, obviously, is his bread and butter brand, right? Hex for Hex. If I was him too, I would go for, you know, Optic LA versus, you know, Chicago Huntsman at the end. But who takes over Chicago Huntsman and how do they use that brand? Like, will it be another Immortal situation where they screw it up badly? Right. If you look at the Twitter, right, Optic Gaming obviously has the most Twitter followers just because of their presence. Yeah. But in terms of the newly created brands, Huntsman's number one in terms of interaction, in terms of everything they do. So are they going to leave all that behind for that? I mean, who takes over that? Do they rebrand themselves? You know, personally, I just say I would rebrand it so that I don't have to worry about the history of it. Just like, here we are, we're a new Chicago team. We're starting fresh. You know, Huntsman, you know, long live Huntsman. It was good for 1 year, but yeah, but I'm excited, you know, CDL with the Treyarch game, CDL players love Treyarch. And so if this actually happens and Optic comes back like that, you know, I've followed Optic since the start, so I'll be very excited to see Hex back there. It's very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Okay, we're going to jump over to an interview I have done with Silly from LA Gorillas. We're here with Silly, Justin Fargo, world champion, Call of Duty world champion. Does it still feel a bit weird when people say that, or do you feel like people might have forgotten?
It definitely still feels weird considering, like, before I was ever a world champion, you know, I'd been playing for like 9 years already. So
yeah,
definitely still has a good ring to it.
That is actually one thing that people forget about you, is that you've been around as long as anyone else. I think it's like you and Clayster that are like the players that have been around at least competing for the longest amount of time. I mean, how old are you? You must be mid 20s.
I'm 25. Krim played back in the day with us too. Obviously, he switched to Halo at one point, but he was around in COD 4 as well.
Yeah. So you've obviously seen the evolution of Call of Duty over the years. I mean, where did you first of all, let's talk about Modern Warfare. Obviously, you spent a lot of time playing that game. I don't want you to get a fine or anything like that. So you can kind of you could talk a little bit. You could talk however you want about it, I guess. But you know, what was your opinions on the game? How did you find it in general? You know, especially from a competitive perspective.
I mean, if I got to get a fine, I got to get a fine. But it's over now. Modern Warfare is the only title out of every single title I've played since 2009 where I didn't have fun. Okay. It's pretty much the only game that could have made the COVID situation worse in terms of not having events. And I'm really, really glad it's over. I'm glad I made it through the year.
What was it about the game that you disliked?
All the obvious server issues. I feel like anytime we got any kind of a patch, something else would butterfly effect and break something else in the game. What else? I mean, it's just an M4, MP5 meta always gets boring too.
Yeah.
Just generally wasn't fun online, especially with all like a lot of the teams living in their cities.
Yeah.
You know, being in Minnesota and like playing like teams that are based out of Texas is literally just like online punishment. You know, it's not a lot of fun.
So we were just talking about that before we went live, and you were saying that, well, we were saying that you had to move to Minnesota for the league. But obviously that doesn't seem to be a requirement anymore. Do you think that really hindered your chances? And were you guys not like, can we not go to Texas, for example?
We definitely could have went to Texas. I don't think us being in Minnesota was like obviously like our entire issue by any means. That was definitely completely up to us. But yeah, obviously people being in Texas and being, you know, South Central US have a huge, huge advantage. And typically, you know, internet's a little better over there. And, you know, like if we ever played from home or anything, my apartment internet was pretty much like unplayable.
Okay.
So
you had to be at the center.
Yeah.
What was living in Minnesota like?
I didn't mind it out there, actually. We apparently had a really mild winter. So it wasn't that cold most of the time. Honestly, I was expecting a lot worse. And in the summer, it's really nice. It's really pretty out there. There's a lot to do, a lot of like nature to see. And you know, growing up in like a big, like populated city, not having a ton of traffic all the time is always a plus.
Yeah. So you end up getting, were you dropped or what was the situation? What ended up transpiring? Was it that you decided to leave or were you dropped or what was the deal?
Me and Adam wanted, obviously we don't know for sure if they were going to keep us or if it's contingent on something else. Obviously me and Adam wanted to be released, to have the best chance of getting on a team.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what we asked for and we got our wish and obviously we not going to one of the spots. So
what do you make of their new team now that's been announced?
Their new team is definitely good. They have a lot of talent. Obviously any team with like Priesta on it is going to be good. I think the main concern for a lot of people is like potential role issues, but you know, in 4v4, I feel like people can usually move around roles a little bit and be okay. It really just depends on how the game plays.
Yeah. So how did, as you said, you and Adam are salt, a fellow world champion. How did you guys go about getting into the Gorilla squad? You know, what was the discussion then? And also, does it feel a little bit weird to potentially, you know, walk in on where Aches had been? You know, you're a famous or infamous former leader.
So pretty much our main basis of trying to go to LA, big thing for me, I want hardworking players around me. That's pretty much all I care about.
Yeah.
You know, after kind of dealing with some issues in terms of people not like doing the absolute most they can for the team, all I want is hardworking people. I know Vivid is that. They also have a top tier coaching squad. Obviously Bevel's like one of the best coaches, Ricky's great assistant coach. And you know, Doug is definitely like a really good analyst, and like having a good basis of the team like that, that's already there, I feel like sets up the rest of the players coming in for success. And obviously, you know, we sat down to figure out a fourth and it was pretty much unanimously apathy. So ran back the squad, obviously Vivid in place of Aches, and decided to get to work.
Do you think that you can replicate what happened during the World War II season?
I definitely do. I think it's solely dependent on, you know, teamwork and hard work. You know, everybody at this level can shoot straight, like it, you know, and the superstar effect, I don't think is as prominent in 4v4. Obviously in 5v5 you can run around and get three pieces and sprint around and get kills without punishment, but you know, it's a lot more structured in 4v4, and I feel like we definitely could.
The switch from 4v4 to 5v5, so for many of the people listening who are just casual Call of Duty fans, it's obviously been quite a substantial one, and a lot of players have been asking for it, although a lot of players equally kind of reacted like, oh my God, they're cutting 14 jobs when it was announced. So what were you always on the side of 4v4, and what do you make of the transition over? I mean, you've said that, that it seems to be appealing to you.
4v4 is obviously more appealing to me. I'm sure everyone on my team would agree. I think the timing of it was really, really poorly done. You know, obviously there could be players, not that we know, but there could be players, families that were dependent on their income this time. You know, a lot of people are losing their jobs, a lot of issues, especially in the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is in shambles.
Yeah.
I feel like if we were going to do 4v4 in the first, even like Black Ops 4 should have just been 4v4, or after that, the first year of the league should have just been 4v4, or it should have been this next year when things are supposed to be back to normal. But I feel like this is the only year it shouldn't have been done. Although I do like 4v4 better.
So you think they actually should have kept 5v5 just for continuity purposes?
Yes, or at the beginning of the franchise league, just made it 4v4 in general. Because like I can't imagine any players actually asking for 5v5. I don't think anybody ever entertained that or was like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. So I don't see what the point of it was in the first place.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to try and make it more like, you know,
Overwatch
66, isn't it? But yeah, like CS, League, you know, they're trying to, Valorant now. So yeah, I think they were trying to make it. I think there's like, what I find weird is, say you've got a 5v5 team, if you drop like two players, you still got that core of the team there. But in 4v4, you drop two, it's basically, and the two new come in, it's basically a whole new team. So that's the only thing for me. I feel like it makes it easier for mixed teams and brand new teams to do well, because they you can't go up against more of a structure. I don't know if you agree with that.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. That kind of goes along with the fact, like, you know, before, like in 5v5, like just like you just said, like teams would make like one change and it wouldn't make that much of a difference. Which, like with us, like we made one change, but it wasn't a one person issue. Now, if you make one change, it is probably going to fix your problem. If you make two changes, your entire team is like redeveloped. So
yeah,
I feel like it definitely helps everyone's chances if they move around players, or you know, just against the juggernaut teams too, because it's a lot easier to have a good structure with four players rather than five.
Yeah. So you've played Cold War, I imagine, as much as possible. Can you give us your quick rundown on how you found it?
I definitely hope there's some better maps on the horizon. I don't really think any of them are playable right now for us other than Moscow. Obviously the slide, it's been nerfed already, which is a good sign that the devs are listening. I think it needs to be nerfed a little bit more. And the maps are obviously the other big issue. I feel like if those two things get fixed, we have a really good game, really good game structure. The gunplay is good. I mean, that's pretty much it.
We had a lot of talk from when we had Drifter on last week, and he was talking about the issues with the beta, especially in the first week, connection issues. Did you find you had the similar issue?
I didn't really have any for some reason. I saw a lot of people coming in my chat who were talking about connection issues, but I didn't get any myself. Maybe it's my one ping or something. I have no idea, but I didn't really get them myself. Obviously that needs to be fixed. Another thing too, I haven't really played too much this weekend, but I have seen a lot of hackers.
Really?
So obviously some kind of anti-cheat needs to come in. Like, you know, we've been saying that about Warzone for the past 6 months, and it just really needs to happen.
Are you concerned at all about the possibility that we could see cheaters next year in the CDL because of the move from console to PC? And obviously it's just been far more prevalent on PC and a lot easier to install hacks, etc. Is that something you're concerned about, especially with an online league?
In the actual CDL, I think there's a little to no chance of that happening. Obviously compared to other esports, CDL is pretty close knit. All the players know each other. So someone cheating their way into the CDL and getting on a team is very unlikely. And also a player risking that for, you know, risking their spot in the CDL and getting permanently banned to cheat, I think is highly, highly unlikely.
Okay.
And being shunned by all their peers, you know?
Yeah, it would be pretty, I mean, it'd be a great article, don't get me wrong. But I personally don't want to see it. But that's been obviously a major concern that people have had. And it's like, you know, even last year when people were saying, oh, well, who's got mods in their Cronus? Like, people accusing a few players of cheat. What was the guy for Mutineers? I forget his name.
Wake.
They were accusing him of cheating, you know, and people like Krim had to come out and go, he's not cheating. Like, chill out. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm a bit concerned because going to PC, it just brings that, even in somewhere like Counter-Strike, where people are like, you know, there's been questions about who's been cheating for years and years and years. And fair enough if people haven't. There's obviously been some lower profile teams that have had it, but I think it'd be so damaging. But anyway, I mean, it is what it is. What do you make of the switch to PC? Is that something you're in favor of?
Yeah, I've kind of been hoping for the PC switch for a long time. Like, obviously our game runs horribly on the PS4. That's, you know, not any kind of a debate. Everybody feels that way. Getting some additional frames, I feel like, is great. It kind of stops a little bit of the cameraing. You know, the slide cancel won't be as good with better frames. There won't be so much, so many rough edges on the maps and coming through doorways and stuff like that. Really excited for it. Obviously, probably challengers aren't as excited for it because you are going to see a lot more cheaters there. Like lesser known players. So kind of sucks for them in a sense, but yes, we're really happy about it.
Do you think we'll see that with challenges? Actually, there's an interesting topic. So within the Gorillaz franchise, you've got like a second team. And within it is, you know, just Chino on one of the teams, or Chino, as many people know him. But you've also got Metal, I forget which one it is, who's coming from Gears of War.
Yeah.
So what do you make of his transition over? Are you a bit concerned about his spot maybe if he starts to play well in challenges?
He got a lot of flack in the first place when he was like rumored to be on a team. He's so just like skilled at every game he plays. I feel like he is going to earn a spot pretty soon here. So hopefully all the people kind of hating on him or players that expected to get in and didn't, he got a spot. I feel like he's going to impress everybody and we're all really excited to see him play.
Do you think we'll see the sub feature used a little bit more this year than it was last year? I don't know if they've changed the rules or not. But last year, for example, in theory, you could have swapped in mid-map, but it never happened. Could you see that happening this year, or do you think it's going to stay the same and people kind of edging on the side of caution?
I think mid-series swaps are kind of weird for COD because obviously, like, when you're doing, like, S&D stuff and things like that, like, that stuff you go over for months and that you practice with each other for months. So I feel like swapping someone out kind of messes things up in COD. Like, you know, compared to like in Overwatch, like you can put, you know, someone else in the same role and they kind of know what to do. It's quite a bit different. And obviously there's the whole like thing with players being offended if they get swapped out for a certain game mode.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see it too much, but obviously it could happen a little bit more this year, especially if teams take the route to have a full academy team. Sub team.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, so with Cold War, you're not impressed with the maps, but we'll see some changes. You know, is there anything about the game that you really did enjoy? Like, is there anything that you could, was like stand out for you?
One thing that I feel like hasn't happened in a while, it seems like all the guns are good. Like pretty much every gun you use can be used. Like they can all compete with each other, I feel like. Usually, you know, it's like the two guns and yeah. I've used like 5-6 different guns that are all viable. They win gunfights versus other good guns. And, yeah. That's really cool to see because obviously like in terms of like streaming our tournaments and stuff, seeing variety in the weapons is a lot more exciting than seeing the same gun over and over and over again.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think it'll be great, for next year. I think it'll make a massive difference. Okay, well, look, I think I'm pretty much out of questions, so I don't know if there's anything else that you want to bring up.
Just excited to play Cold War, excited to represent the West Coast, and excited to get it moving.
Well, anyone listening or watching, you can see Silly in the CDL as part of the LA Gorillas lineup, which will probably be starting. We don't know definitive dates, but probably the start of next year. But I'm sure you can see him. Do you want to shout out your socials for anyone who wants to follow?
Twitter.com/silly702, twitch.tv/silly, and Instagram/702silly. Catch me there.
Thanks very much, Justin. It's been a pleasure. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that was Silly of the LA Gorillas, one of the, I think there's only about 19 or 22, I think it is, COD World Champions. I may be wrong on that figure. It might be slightly higher. But he, great interview by him. Always a pleasure speaking to Justin. So thanks for him taking the time out. We've got another interview in next week's episode 7. I believe we're going to have Noisy Butters on, who's an up-and-coming female content creator in the COD world. She's up-and-coming, but she's also been around for quite a while. But she's up-and-coming in popularity. So, Kesha, any final words before we finish off this episode?
No, let us know your thoughts in the comments about the haunting event. You know, tweet at us as well what your thoughts are. If you have any questions about the haunting event or any sort of impressions you want to hear from us for next week's episode.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Keshav. As always, this has been the Charlie Intel podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can actually listen in audio format, and we'll also be posting social clips throughout the week on the Charlie Intel Twitter, so make sure you check those out. Until next week, thanks very much.